Well, as mentioned, we're in a series on discipleship, and we heard from Nick last week. See you, Nick. Who took us into part one of self-denial, and we looked at, which story did we look at? Testing your memories? The rich young ruler, that's right. And Nick unwrapped a bit about the idols in the rich young ruler's life. The main idol for him was, of course, wealth. And we looked at how he was keeping up all these commandments in terms of his relationship with people, but was forgetting about his relationship with God. And you know, what our idols do is they compete to be at the centre of our lives. We were singing that song a moment ago, Jesus, be the centre. And there's so many things in the world competing to be at the centre. And the ones that sell the best have one thing in common. They put you at the centre. Not Jesus. They put something else. They're the ones that sell the best. That's what a good salesman does. Here's what I can do for you. Maximum gain, minimal cost. The passage I'm about to read could be described as perhaps a sales pitch from Jesus. Let's hear it. He says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Forever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So, he's offering life, but whoever would come after him, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Well, that's a pretty hard sell. That's not going to get the punters in, is it? Well, sometimes we might be tempted in the church to do it that way in a desire to get more numbers and make an easy sell. But Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow in his footsteps. And I want to unwrap that a little bit today. Helen, you talked there a little bit about the story of Bartimaeus. And you know, as it struck me there, as you told that story, I thought, there's different needs going on there. What was Bartimaeus' greatest need? When you started the story, he was looking for money. Wasn't he? He was begging. Was money his greatest need? Perhaps we might say getting his blindness healed was his greatest need. But there was an even greater need underneath that one. I've written a wee poem. You ready for this? This was during my prayer time last night. It's called Needs Can Be Weeds. Here we go. Needs can be weeds. They don't need help to sprout. Put your feet up for one moment and look, they're all about. Needs can be weeds. There's new ones every day. Competing for our attention. Look at me, is what they say. Many came after Jesus for him to meet their needs. Questions, hunger, illnesses, they laid them at his feet. He met their needs. He met their needs in many ways. He wanted them to see that standing right in front of them was the one to set them free. Free from all their anxious thoughts, their worries and their fears, that on his shoulder, above the weeds, their vision could be clear. To see our greatest need of all is met through knowing him, the Saviour of our very souls, our Lord, our God, our King. Hey. And you know, you see that over and over again, Jesus meeting people's needs. And he was doing it so that they would see him, that they would experience him, and they would realize the greatest need of all was this guy
was Jesus.
And you see examples, you know, we talked a little bit about this in our prayer time on Thursday, about the 10 lepers. They all came with that need of being healed. But only one came back. Only one recognised the greatest need was the one who'd met their need. It was Jesus. In this passage, it speaks to our eternal destiny. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Jesus is the only one who saves souls. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That reminds us of our greatest need, our eternal destiny. And yet often we can see that as a need that we can meet down the road. You know, our relationship with God will come in handy at that final moment. I'd like to encourage us today that not only is our relationship with God the most important thing for our tomorrow, it's the most important thing for today. I'd like to circle back for a moment to something Jesus said here which popped out of me when I was reading it. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I started to think, well, what is the difference between coming after and following? It goes back to what I was saying. Many came after him with their needs. Some of them were good, and they'd come to the right place. Some of them were bad. Some of them came with a need to find fault, a need to have something in them satisfied, and they left, usually in a grump because they didn't get it, because they didn't find fault, or if they did think they found fault, oh, they were dead excited. Yes, we've got them. They went on their way. There were so many that came after. But that's not the same as following. It's a bunch of months ago now, and we were having a wonderful worship time in Glasgow City Church, and my mum got up and she said something which really struck me, and I'm sure it struck some others. She said, you know, if God did nothing else for me the rest of my life, I don't care, because he's already done enough. And it's that knowledge, it's that truth that's being reminded that God is the one who meets our greatest needs, the needs of our souls, that helps us to follow him through, helps us to deny ourselves, and reminds us of a bigger picture. We meet from time to time as a wee preaching team, to practice our preaching, to give feedback, and Gary kind of leads that, and he gave us a challenge of preaching in John 3:16-17, and all three of us, Nick, Kenneth, Liz, all preached in the same thing, and it was amazing how just out of those two verses God spoke to something different in each of us, and they were so different, even though we're looking at the same verse. Sermons are so different. I'm very glad that we get to enjoy a variety of teaching. I hope you're glad too. And when Nick preached, he zoomed in on this part. It says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and he zoomed in that world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And he zoomed in on that world. I think you're whispering it there, the root word there, cosmos, creation. And Nick talked about how sometimes when we hear that verse, when we read that verse, we take out cosmos and put in me. And we do, don't we? And often we can we come to God and we might just be thinking about ourselves, but we come to God, and when we meet him, when he meets our needs, and when he challenges to follow him, we, our vision gets expanded bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger and bigger. His vision is for the cosmos. Now we're included in that. It includes you. It does. But it's not exclusive to you. It includes you. And that's a wonderful thing about following after Jesus, is the more we follow him, the more we experience him, we're reminded, whoa, no, this is what it's really all about. That helps us to put other people first, to put God first in our lives. I had a big PowerPoint ready, but I felt to just leave it because I just wanted to share the heart with you of what God put in my heart today. Now I'm going to finish now with some challenges. Oh, that was a quick one. Wait. I'm gonna finish with some challenges. You can write these down. It's up to you. It's your mission should you choose to accept it. First, I'd like you to consider what your life would like, what your life would look like if you only put yourself first. Have a week, take some time and think about what that might look like, what might happen, what changes might take place. Then, I'd like you to consider what the Bible story would look like if Jesus just put himself first and didn't think of anyone else. What the Bible story might look like if Jesus just put himself first. It's an incredible thought, isn't it? I don't want to, I've already wanted to start answering that question. We're going to let you do that and let God speak into your heart what he has to say. And then a couple other wee challenges, and these are for me. These are very much for me. The first one is, think about what comes first in your day. When you wake up, what's the first thing you do? And then some of you will have good spiritual disciplines built into your life, and I want to be more like you. Because my usual first port of call is go on YouTube and watch some basketball highlights. So I want you to think about what comes first in your day. I want you to try and put Jesus first. To try and just start your day and say a quick prayer. Read a verse. Just put God first in your day. Give him the top spot. And then another wee challenge. There's lots of challenges here. Think about things that could compete to be at the centre of your life. And they might even be good things. For me, sometimes it's climbing. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Keeps me healthy, keeps me fit. It can be an opportunity to grow in relationship with other people, to witness. It can be a good thing. But think of some things that perhaps can compete to take the centre. So if you had a choice between this or Jesus,
choose this.
And just for 1 week, I want you to try and give up that thing and give it to God instead. And there's lots of ways that giving it to God can look like. It can look like reading our Bible. It can look like praying for people. It can look like helping someone else in their need. It can look like writing out messages of encouragement to people you've not thought about in a while and just sending them a wee message to encourage them. It can look like a lot of things. But just for 1 week. And it's not to remove that thing from your life completely, especially if it's a good thing. But it's just as an act of worship to God to say, hey, God, I just want to do this to show you that you're the centre of my life. So So there we go, there's some challenges. I've written those down. I'm going to try my best. Pray that it's blessed, and he'll take care of the rest. That's a Bob Dylan line. Okay, so I'm going to close our time in prayer, and I look forward to chatting to you after, and then I'll invite Helen and Liz back up to take us into another time of worship. Amen. Jesus, we were reminded, Lord, of how you took up your cross, how you laid down your life for us, and that wasn't easy. You know, Lord, we read in that moment, that make or break moment where you were praying, Lord, if you could, would you let this cup depart from me? But thank you, Jesus, that your prayer didn't stop there. That you said, not my will be done, but yours. And Lord, we look at the wonderful impact that that had on the entirety of creation. The wonderful thing that it means for all of us who put our trust in you, for the future of this cosmos. Because you didn't put yourself first, that you took up your cross and trusted in your Father. And Lord, help us to do the same, to put you first, even when it's hard, because we believe in you. We trust in you. We have faith in you. We know that you do love us, that you care for us, that you know the things that concern our hearts and our minds. You know us so well. And you promised, Lord, that as we put you first, that you'll look after us, that you'll take care of the rest. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Lord, would you break our heart for what breaks yours? Help us to look around and to see the needs of others too. It can be so humbling sometimes when I get caught up in all my own needs. And then I see someone in such greater need than me. And I think, whoa, where's my heart at? Lord, thank you, Lord, that you don't forget about us, Lord, and that you have a heart, not just for me, Lord, but a heart for everything, for everyone, for every person's situation, for every person's pain. You have a heart for that. A heart full of love. And you have the power, Lord, to meet our need. And to meet our greatest need, which is knowing you. I think of that quote from Blaise Pascal, in the heart of every person is a God-shaped hole. And there's so often, Lord, we can become aware of that hole, and there's people out there in the world trying desperately to fill that hole with so many different things. But Lord, you are the only one that can fill that hole in each of our lives. And so Lord, we thank you. We're reminded of how good it is to know you. The peace that we live in, the victory we live in, the joy that we know and the comfort we know in the hard times, because we know you. Because you're next to us, because you're with us, and because you've gone before us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for speaking to us. Have your will in our hearts and our minds this week. Let your will be done. May you be the centre of our lives. in all that we do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.